Greetings, and welcome to the 20th installment of our podcast series, The Workforce Lens, brought to you by Tarrant County College in North Texas. I am Shannon Bryant, Executive Vice President for Corporate Solutions and Economic Development, and I will be your host, moderating strategic conversations with employers and economic developers on all things related to preparing and growing the workforce today and the future. Today, my guest is Brant Ring, Chief Executive Officer at Con Global. Welcome, Brant. Happy to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Shannon.
For those of you who are not aware of Con Global is North America's largest integrated intermodal services provider with operations at over 120 locations across the U.S., Mexico, and Costa Rica. Brant, we want to hear more about the company. Tell us about the mission, the vision, the values. Tell us about your organization.
You bet. And again, thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation to speak to your audience, and I really appreciate the partnership that we continue to build out.
Absolutely.
So at Con Global, we want to be the world's go-to experts in terminal operations. In more simple terms, what that means is if you have an industrial terminal that requires specialized operations of specialized equipment, we want to play. In practice today, what that means for our industrial terminals is that we center on loading and unloading finished vehicles or automobiles to and from rail car for our Class 1 clients. So the railway network across North America, which includes BNSF Railway, which is just down the street, but also all the others like Union Pacific, Norfolk Southern, the Canadian railroads as well. The second part of those industrial terminal operations is loading and unloading trailers and containers to and from rail car for those same Class 1 railroad clients. And then finally, on the third part of the rail side of our business, we switch rail cars to and from those facilities. So we place rail cars for loading or unloading, and we serve those same Class 1 railroads as well as some other industrial clients as well. And then finally, our last line of business, fourth line of business to today, is our depot network, oftentimes more commonly referred to as container yards. And that's where we take in intermodal trailers and containers, and we estimate repairs, we make repairs, we make modifications, we store that equipment, we sell that equipment, along with the supporting intermodal equipment like chassis. We do that same thing. So in that basis, our client base is the global shipping line community, intermodal equipment providers, railroads also use us at the container yards, as well as neighboring warehouse and distribution operations. All in all, we operate well over 100 sites across the U.S., Mexico, Costa Rica.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit more about, like, the competition in this space? Who are your competitors in this space?
Absolutely. So anybody who's operating in the industrial space, I would say, you know, can be a competitor in terms of there are drayage companies that operate container yards along with trucking. We have competitors in our space that do rail car loading and unloading for trailers and containers on the intermodal side, we call that. We also have competitors on the automotive side or finished vehicle side that load and unload finished product to and from rail cars. So it's a hyper-competitive environment because of the global nature of the supply chain and all of those that we touch.
I see. And of the 100, so it's 100 locations you said in those three countries, correct?
Roughly, yeah.
And about how many employees does Con Global employ?
Yeah, it takes about 3,000 experts. That's how I like to refer to our workforce as experts.
There you go.
To serve our customers and run our business across North America.
And how many of those do you currently have here in North Texas?
So we operate about 12 sites, about a dozen sites here in North Texas.
And you and I met because you are in North Texas up at the Alliance location, correct?
That's right. We have wonderful partners in Hillwood Development Company, and we partnered with them on a small suite north of Alliance, just north of your campus up there.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and getting to know the operation. So, Brant, you serve as the Chief Executive Officer, the CEO of Con Global. Can you tell us a little bit about you and how long have you been with the company and what led you to this role?
You bet. So I'm quickly...
You're smiling.
I am smiling. I'm going to tell you why. I'm quickly approaching 3 years with Con Global. So if you do the math, yes, that means I made a pretty material professional change right on the very front end of the pandemic. So a few of those people that I hold very close to me thought that was a bit out there. but that's probably for another episode. Prior to Con Global, I spent almost 25 years with BNSF Railway, and I have to say, what an honor and a privilege it was to spend so much time with such a historic, iconic, well-respected, well-led company. That's long been true, and that remains true today. In my last decade there, I had responsibility for terminal operations, which is the connective tissue to Con Global. There I had responsibility for rail car fleet sizing and distribution, terminal operations, and customer service. And within those areas, I also got the chance to explore and deploy some emerging technology. So it was really there and over that period of time that I got connected to terminal operations and really fell in love with terminal operations and the potential that there was for transforming that critical piece of the supply chain, the endpoints, with advanced and emerging technology.
That's a great story. And for those of you who are listening and aren't aware, BNSF Railroad is actually headquartered here in Fort Worth, Texas. And so you've made that transition from being an employee to then working with a company in which you now serve them as a customer, correct?
That's right. So in that backdrop, I knew Con Global and the platform and the people of Con Global by way of being a customer of Con Global's. So with that perspective, when the recruiter called and explained the Con Global opportunity, it seemed like a logical next step and a wonderful opportunity that provides all of us at Con Global a chance to really play a meaningful role in transforming. That's an overused word. It really means improving the supply chain, starting at the endpoints.
So just a natural progression.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right.
So great. Funny how life happens that
way.
It
is funny how life happens.
So I want to go back to the question about, I guess, skill sets. You just mentioned that you have 3,000 experts. So tell us a little bit about the skill sets and the types of jobs that Con Global needs in their workforce.
You bet. Happy to talk about our experts. I love doing so. Most of our work happens in an outdoor production environment. And any more conventional work environment or office environment happens in support of those experts that are working in the outdoor production environment. I want to say that all of that work is important work. And it's admirable work. I have so much genuine love for the people that step forward to do this important work. It's real work. It's around-the-clock work. It's hard work. And all of that's true whether it's on the front lines or in support of those experts, because we, as consumers, demand it of our supply chain. Our requirements as consumers requires that 24/7, 365 attention that we always talk about. And that makes our work simultaneously demanding and rewarding, because what we do holds a place of importance and impact on the day-to-day lives of all those we serve. So when I answer the skill set question, which was your question, I do often surprise audiences with my answer. So often folks think that I'm going to recite a certification or a license or educational requirement. You know, go to this school, TCC. Get this degree.
There we go. Nice plug. Thank you, Brant. Appreciate that.
Go to this school, get this degree or get this license. But what we really need, and it's not cliche, what we really need and what we look for are really skills that one learns very early in life. We look for the ability to work in teams. We look for the ability to be trustworthy, to be reliable, have a willingness to learn, a willingness to challenge historical ways of doing things. And our corporate values really actually provide a great set of guideposts for those skills that we're looking for. So, Shannon, I think the way that I would summarize it, we look for the person first and the credentials second. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. And I love that. That's very progressive thinking these days. So you're looking for what some people call the soft skills, or I prefer to call the essential skills, because they really are the essential skills in life today.
They really are the essential life skills of today. I think it's long been true. I think it's becoming more prominent in today's workplace and workforce. Companies are realizing those soft skills, those essential skills, those people-based skills are the overriding factor for success for the individual, for the team, and for the organization. Those other credentials that may be somewhat differentiating are just added to those people skills.
Right. I always say it's almost that the technical skills have become the commodity, where the soft skills of an individual are now the value-based skill sets and characteristics that individuals need to have. And especially today with supply chain types positions, there's obviously a big focus on that. And so it's even more imperative.
Right. What's the old cliche? Hire for talent, train for skill.
There you go.
It's absolutely very, very true today.
So speaking of that, kind of to transition off of that topic is, well, so professional development. Once you hire the individuals, what does professional development look like within Conglobe? I'm curious to know what kind of learning and development paths you have established for those individuals.
Absolutely. So we clearly have a skill set module where we will train skills, we will train mechanics, we will train operators of equipment. Those are the skill tests, and there's very rigorous discipline programs for those technical aspects of it. But we also have to complement that with leadership development. So we run our experts through leadership training that really speaks to what our mission is, what our vision is, and what our values are. And those values are things that we hold true. And I say values, not priorities, because priorities can change, values don't. And so we really spend a lot of time training, working with our experts and our workforce to understand what our expectations are in terms of how we interact with each other and how we interact externally with customers, prospective customers, investors, owners. It's really the set of expectations that we hold for each other. That's very much part of how we train and develop our workforce.
Funny you should mention that. I'm facilitating a course tomorrow on the values of organizations and the values of the employees that work with those organizations and how important that is to culture. Can you speak to us a little bit about what those values are of ConGlobal?
Absolutely. So we work together to develop our corporate values after some time together. And what I love about what we put together is it was not top down. So of course, those of us who lead the company, have the privilege of leading the company, have some thoughts on what the values for our corporation should be or for our organization should be. But we also pulled from the front lines things that were important to our experts. And so we put that all together, and what we come up with is something I'm really quite proud of. So our first value is zero harm, and that means that we will work safely and we will protect those around you, which includes the environment and communities that we serve. Second value is service quality. Set high standards and deliver a remarkable customer experience. I like that because it involves the customer experience and it involves high standards. It's okay to have high standards. We want to deliver a remarkable customer experience. But in the supply chain, as of late, sometimes that remarkable customer experience is how you respond when things aren't going so well. It's easy to deliver a remarkable customer experience when everything's going well. In the last couple of years, things haven't been going so well. Teamwork, you heard me talk about teamwork, Shannon. Embrace differences, celebrate authenticity, and partner with each other and those we serve. So the partnership that you and I are building between our organizations is very much part of our values. We intend to partner with those that we serve and do business with.
So important. Absolutely.
Of course, integrity. We endeavor to do what we say, to do the right things, the right way for the right reasons. And the last one, I shouldn't really have a favorite. All of these values are very, very important. But I love what the team has come up with here. Because we understand our reputation in the industry. I understand my reputation in the industry around innovation. And sometimes innovation gets connected to technology. But innovation doesn't always bridge to or link to technology. In fact, my favorite definition of innovation actually comes from MIT. And that is, innovation is the process of taking an idea from inception to impact. So nowhere in there does it reference technology. You can innovate without technology. And so our final value is human ingenuity. We are a learning organization that uses our expertise to build lasting solutions and capabilities. I love that we reference human ingenuity.
Brian, thank you so much for sharing those values. Those are very impactful. I love the technology reference regarding innovation. You're right. You don't have to have technology to be innovative. That's for certain. And the authenticity piece, that's great.
And if I might add on the technology piece, we're not pursuing technology to transform our company to replace humans. It's just time to suspend that narrative. When's the last time that somebody invented something with technology on a Monday, deployed it on Tuesday, and sent people home on a Wednesday? It just doesn't happen. The technology that we're pursuing is not to replace humans. We are a people-centered business. We will always need people driving our business forward. The technology that we're pursuing is to drive and increase the impact of our experts and our people. So we will always need people driving this business forward. And the technology that we're pursuing is to just enhance their impact.
And efficiency, I dare to say. Efficiency and impact, for sure. Well, that's a great segue to the next question, Brant. What is your view of the future of transportation, logistics, and supply chain?
I like to talk about this in the context of how the skill sets of our employees will change and how institutions like TCC can strategically align with us going forward. So virtually everyone is aware of jobs and careers for creators of advanced technology. But as technology is increasingly adopted, I believe that we need to highlight, identify, and train new career paths that will be opened up for users of this technology. All the headlines are with startups and founders who are creating technology. We need to put more emphasis on the users of that technology. So the future of our workforce will be users of advanced technology. They'll become more fixers than finders. So the technology will help us find, the people will continue to help us fix. Does that make sense?
It does. Makes perfect sense. And that's one of the things, you know, I'm always talking to employers every single day and working with an institution of higher education is that, especially, you know, North Texas right now, we are bringing in so many highly innovative companies that have great technologies or just great innovative platforms. And one of the things is that sometimes we need your help in building those programs. And so how do you see that working, Brant, pertaining to partnership between business and industry and higher education? Because in today's world, we need your help building programs to make sure we can produce the right skill sets of the students coming out that are going to go to work for you, not only today, but the workforce that you're going to have 3 to 5 years from now.
Absolutely, Shannon. I think it really starts with these kinds of conversations and the kinds of conversations that you and I have been having for some time. I think regular conversations to keep us aligned with what the workforce of tomorrow expects and requires, as well as what the employers of tomorrow expect and require, and merging those two things together. So it starts with the conversations, a conversation like the ones that we have been having, but it also includes coming to see it. Let's get the educational experts, leaders of higher education to come see these operations, come see the kinds of things that we're, some of the challenges that we're facing in person, and see some of the solutions that we're deploying so that we can craft programs and curriculum around those challenges.
That is so imperative, building those bridges. So I look forward to building that bridge with you, Brant, and TCC and Con Global.
Absolutely.
Think we're going to build a great bridge together. So the pandemic you mentioned earlier, the pandemic brought many changes to the world of workforce, business, and industry. You mentioned the interruption Con Global experienced on your website, which I was reviewing yesterday. Specifically, you referenced your journey to decarbonization. Tell us what that means and what are you doing to reach a place of zero harm, which you mentioned is one of your values.
It really is one of our values. That means we strive to ensure that we do our work in a way that will not harm people, products, equipment, or the environment and communities that we serve. And those last two parts are very important, and I would say they are increasingly in the narrative and the conversations that I'm having every day, every week. The important role that industry plays in taking care of our environment and the communities that we serve. Of course, the events of the past 2 years have shown us that health, global economic, social systems, the very world we live in can be fragile, but it's ultimately resilient. So within this backdrop, industrial transformation and collaboration like this have never been more important. And so in practice, what does that mean? We're working with our customers, we're working with our business partners to deploy solutions with sustainability in mind. It does require collaboration to make sure we're meeting our customers' needs, to make sure that we're partnering with the right folks. What it means in real terms are things like deploying alternative energy sources, deploying equipment that uses alternative fuels. We actually have the largest fleet of electric vehicle yard trucks operating in an intermodal facility in California as we speak. So the entire intermodal facility for that rail client is 100% electric vehicle yard trucks. And we expect to have the second such facility for that same client in California by the end of this year. So you'll see us continue to pursue alternative fuels, alternative fuel vehicles. You'll see us consider how we manage waste, how we consume, how we manage the waste after we consume, so that we can continue to be good neighbors and good global citizens. That's important. It's part of our values, as I've already mentioned, but it's increasingly important to customers, it's increasingly important to employees, and it's increasingly important to the investment community.
Absolutely. We're talking a lot right now around corporate social responsibility, which is all part of that. So that leads me to my next question. Are there any other initiatives around corporate social responsibility in the works at Con Global? And how do you think this has an impact on leading talent to your organization, especially the younger generation?
I love this question. So I shared that what our vision is to be the world's go-to experts in terminal operations. And a good vision has an aspirational element to it, meaning that you're not quite sure if you ever get there or not. It's just a little bit out of reach, which leads us, though, to the mission. That's the purpose, right? Why do we get out of bed every day? And it has to be a mission that every employee, every expert can get behind, from the front lines to our corporate offices. So our mission here at Con Global is to take care of each other, our customers, and our business in that order. Because if we don't take care of each other, there will be no us to take care of a customer. And if there's no customers, there's no business to take care of. And it's actually quite easy to measure. So if we all do something in our day-to-day to take care of one another, or something to take care of a customer, or something to take care of our business, we've had a good day. If we do something across all three elements, we've had a great day. And when enough of us string together in a series of shifts, a series of days, weeks, months, we're taking steps toward this mission. And all those little things add up to big things. And I would emphasize that the importance of purpose is not unique to the younger generation. Today's workforce, newer and more experienced or seasoned, they all want purpose. They want to have a purpose, and they want to work with and for people, with and for organizations that have purpose. Now, that doesn't mean purpose instead of profits or purpose instead of prosperity. It's purpose and prosperity. The two can coexist. It's just that today's workforce is no different than prior workforces. It's just that today's workforce, seasoned or newer, they're more vocal, more upfront about expecting both of those things. So it's why our daily mission to take care of each other, our customers, and our business, it resonates. It's bigger than self, whether self is an individual or an organization.
True. And today's workforce has so many multi-generations, and it's one is feeding off of another. That's a big topic every time I talk to a CEO or an executive of a company. So it's really important to have those conversations.
Absolutely.
And to have that focus.
And I love that today's workforce is more vocal and more upfront about the expectations that they have of leaders, more upfront about the expectations they have of the organizations they work with. I think that's always been something that the workforce desired. It's just now more common to talk about it.
Right. And we feel a little more, I guess, clear or able to talk about it without some kind of repercussion as of the days of old.
Absolutely. So progress, right?
Exactly. Progress. Innovation. Exactly. So, Brent, how many job openings does Con Global currently have across the company? And I'm curious to know, how do you recruit talent?
Great question. I'm not going to give you a precise number because it will be inaccurate the minute I leave the building.
Fair enough.
But it's better to understand that we have many jobs open and we're always hiring. Why? First, because we're growing. We're opening new sites. We're building new capabilities. So that provides existing employees a chance to advance, which creates openings down the line and creates opportunities for new and different talent to join our organization. And yes, in spite of the ever-present headlines around layoffs, The competition out there for talent is still very, very high. And so we recruit using all imaginable and familiar formats. We have in-house recruiting professionals. Sometimes we supplement that with contracted recruiters. We hold job fairs. We market online. We build partnerships with a variety of educational institutions like
align
TCC.
With community colleges there, today's you go, universities.
Yes. Today's podcast is a great way for us to hopefully tell our story and recruit. I will say, though, our best and most impactful recruiting tool is our culture. There's absolutely zero substitute for having existing teammates refer us to those that they hold close to them. So how we run the company, how we interact with each other, that is by far our best recruiting tool.
So the internal word of mouth.
Internal word of mouth is it really is high impact for us.
I think that'll always be the tried and true.
I hope so.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right, random question for you, Brant. I always like to know from the leaders that I interview, what books are you reading right now for your own professional development?
And for the audience, I'm smiling. I should probably concentrate on one at a time, Shannon, but that's just...
That many, huh?
That's not how my mind works. I wish I could do that, but it's not how it works. So I'm in the midst of several. So the latest ad is From Strength to Strength by Arthur Brooks. So in his words, it's a roadmap to finding purpose, meaning, and success as we age. So yes, that's probably gives you a good sense for how well I've handled entering my 50s. But again, that's probably for another episode. I'm nearly through a book called The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. So this one's been out a while. It's been out since 2014, but a friend of mine gave it to me during an especially difficult time for our business. And it's founded on an 85-word paragraph that Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius wrote to himself for himself. Often quoted by the concluding maxim, quote, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. So in real words, it's a book about embracing challenges, overcoming obstacles, and working through adversity. And next up will be a book called Love and Work by Marcus Buckingham. I can't wait to get into it as it's about, you know, how you do what you love in a world that's really not set up to help us do that. So for those of us like me, lucky enough to be doing what we absolutely love, it's how can we translate that into those, you know, that we work with so that we might unlock lasting change by calling on the very best of ourselves for all of us. So it's quite a book. It's quite a list, and I'm working my way through it.
Sounds like you have quite the library in your office or at home.
Everywhere.
I love it. Thank you. I will be adding those to my list to take a look at for sure. So in closing here, I always ask our guest any advice for our young people or any people who are looking to make a career change in the field of supply chain and logistics.
Yes, thanks for giving me that opportunity, because I will reinforce that supply chain and logistics jobs, those are jobs that are important, necessary, admirable work. It's real work. It's hard work. It's rewarding work. So for those who may be listening thinking that, you know, it's quote unquote an old industry and not advanced, look again. You simply cannot operate these large-scale enterprises, large-scale operating footprints without being advanced. And there's so much opportunity to continue that transformation and be part of something special that has purpose and really moves our societies forward.
And Brant, with that being said, we've had lots of conversations today around what a wonderful company Con Global is. You have lots of job opportunities open. We have lots of students here at TCC. We have lots of community members. How does someone find you and find out about the jobs that you have open right now, if anyone's interested?
You can follow us on social media. We have a big social media presence, all of the usual suspects, Twitter, LinkedIn is a big one for us. Our website, itsconglobal.com. Though I will warn everybody that, as you've heard us reference Con Global, a lot of that will be changing in the coming weeks. So I think if you just search us out on Con Global, you'll find us. And we look forward to talking with anybody who might have interest in joining our team.
Wonderful. Any last closing remarks, Brant, that you would like to tell our listening audience today about Con Global? Or
just thanks for having me, Shannon. It's always a great day when I get to talk about Con Global and the folks that make it go every day. So I got to start my day doing that, so I'm off to a great start today. And it's always been especially fun to speak to someone like you who in your organization who are genuinely interested in the work that we do. So I appreciate the invitation, appreciate your interest, and thank you for your partnership.
Absolutely. We thank you as well. And TCC looks to a long future of a relationship with Con Global and you and your organization. So, Brant, again, thank you so much. And I would like to welcome the listen audience. And please tune in for next month's edition of the Workforce Lens. Thank you.